This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Gentlemen, I'm going to introduce you right now. You just heard his voice a few minutes ago on a commercial. This is not a commercial appearance by any stretch of the imagination. I've been wanting to have him on ever since I heard what he decided to do, which some people call courageous, other people call ambitious. I called it crazy as hell. He decided at an escalated age, north of 30, shall we say, to go back to school to be a cop, to be a policeman. Now, he did this after years in a successful career as one of the leading attorneys here in this area, certainly when it comes to special litigation. He's made quite a name for himself. Chris Hudson, here he is, live and in living color. And Chris, I got to ask you this right off the top because it kind of sets the tone for the whole conversation. How old are you?
I am 46 years old.
46, so
you. And I would dispute or take issue with the escalated age.
Well, you're escalated compared to the average rookie cop.
Correct.
And matter of fact, you are old enough to be their daddy.
Correct.
Okay. And probably in your training academy, I would imagine, 90% of that group, they were probably young enough to be your kids.
They were, although we did have a chief of police from one local jurisdiction who was she was a chief of the fire department that went through, and he was in his 70s.
Well, he was having to get certified probably late in life for administrative reasons.
Correct.
You first of all, let's tell everybody exactly who you are. Your family, very heavily entrenched here in the CSRA for many, many years. You've got family up in Lincoln County. Your parents and other members of your family are in Richmond County. So you're all over the place. You went to where in high school?
I went to Lakeside.
And graduated, I would imagine, in 93?
94.
94. And then went to Augusta College or Augusta?
Went to Augusta College for a couple of years. I took 1 year off to work full time, worked for the Bilo grocery store locally.
I remember that.
Money.
I remember seeing you in there.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Wow.
And then I didn't do well at all in high school. I think to this day I have probably the record for disciplinary referrals.
Really?
Last time I checked, I think I did. And probably graduated with around a 2.0 GPA.
So you were not necessarily a juvenile delinquent when it comes to committing crimes, but when it comes to mischief and acting up, you got in trouble. That would have been Mr. McAnally back in those days.
That was, and I think I had Lewis Blanchard running around after me.
which may have played a role in you picking Burke County, which we'll get to in a minute. But I'm going to go back in time here a little bit. So Mr. McAnally was your principal at Lakeside, and I guess Merrill Alaloff was your assistant principal.
That's correct.
Which you would have been taller than at that point. Everybody was taller than Merrill.
Yeah.
Little bitty lady, but boy, you didn't cross her.
No, spent many hours in her office.
She was Darth Vader at 4'9".
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean that in a good way, by the way. Yeah. I love her to death.
Good lady.
She and my parents went to high school together, Richmond Academy.
Okay.
So you decided at the advanced age of what, 24, 25, that you were going to get serious about college?
Yes. Well, it was a little bit earlier than that. I think I started college around 21, seriously. Started.
But you say you took a year off in there.
I did. And did 2 years at Augusta State and then transferred up to the University of Georgia, where I finished my bachelor's degree.
Now, I'm not trying to get nosy with you, but you're not a traditional student. Your mom and dad didn't say, pick a school and we'll send you there.
Absolutely not. It was because of my track record in high school. You know, I wouldn't have invested in me at that.
Well, Georgia wouldn't have accepted you straight out of high school.
Right. Absolutely not. No, I transferred in. When I eventually got into college at Augusta State, I guess something just clicked and I started making good grades. And, you know, when you start making good grades, it for me at least, it gave me some incentive and some
momentum,
courage. Yeah, some momentum.
Now,
absolutely.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but were you old enough to benefit from the Hope Scholarship by the time you got to Georgia?
Absolutely.
So you were able to use that,
yeah.
Which probably you may not have been able to do it if it hadn't been for the Hope Scholarship.
Well, I actually worked full time while I was at Georgia as well. I worked at the Bilo in, what was the town nearby?
Crawfordville? Or
it wasn't Crawfordville.
Washington?
It was one of the towns nearby, but I drove about 30 minutes. I did all of my classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I did my classes all day. That was back when they had a quarter system. So
now, you were married at this time. You didn't have kids yet.
No.
Well, you're brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure about that.
Well, no. In that, you don't have to pay for diapers and formula while you're trying to put your way through college.
Right.
And at that point, between you and the Hope Scholarship, it was all you putting yourself through college.
Absolutely. Student loans.
Just the epitome of a self-made man. That's the reason I'm telling the story. So I imagine you went to law school, UGA Law School?
No, I transferred over to Mercer where I got my JD. Yeah, and they now have a football team. In Macon, yeah.
Great little football team.
And when I was at Mercer, see, you're not supposed to work when you're in law school, but I would sneak down to Millersville to their buy-low store and work two days a week on the weekends just to kind of make ends meet.
Already he's finding the loophole.
Yeah.
So when you finally graduate, you end up going to work in a prosecutor's office, right?
No, actually, I started my career with a defense firm, Fulcher Hagler.
Oh, okay.
Used to be Fulcher Hagler, Reed, Hanks, and Harper.
I was going to say, very prestigious and well-known firm here in town.
Yeah, and I had a family connection through Bill Reed, who was a partner there. Of course, I think he was dead by the time that I started practicing law. And but I spent 1 year defending insurance companies and then decided to go out on my own in 2004.
But I thought, didn't you work in the prosecutor's office?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't? My mistake. Mm-hmm. So you private practice in 2004 on your own?
Yep.
And you have escalated your practice into one of the most successful in the area. I was asking around about you when we were making the appointment for you to be on, and they said, oh, man, Chris has done, you're a millionaire, buddy.
Well, you know.
And I don't know very many attorneys that have done what you've done. The 90% of the attorneys that I know in this town got to where they are because they had incredible backing from family money or something like that, and you did it all on your own.
Yeah, and it's really not easy to go out and hang your own shingle these days. You know, back in the old days, they used to have the public defender system where you could sign up and get cases.
Yeah.
And you kind of supplement your income if you're doing the type of practice I'm doing, which is personal injury. You know, you could supplement your income while you're waiting on cases to resolve. But these days, I can't imagine how young attorneys put a shingle out.
Did it ever occur to you or dawn on you as you were working some of those cases that you're having to represent people that you know are guilty, and that if you're smart and you're good, you're going to get them out of jail and they're going to hurt somebody?
I was very selective of the cases that I'd take on. You know, I've never represented a child molester or
But when you're somebody. A public, when you're, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're working public defender cases, do you have the ability to pick and choose like that?
Back then, I think you did. You know, you could say, hey, I've got a conflict, and they'd send it to somebody else.
So you were kind of, you're saying you got a conflict. The conflict was your conscience, not that you had a conflict in the true sense of it.
Yeah, that's probably not what I would have said, but that would be what my mind said.
My esteem is growing as we speak here because I couldn't do that.
Well, you know, guilty is a legal term. You're not guilty until you're officially adjudicated by a judge or a jury as being guilty.
Yeah, but when you've got somebody sitting in front of you, you've got a stack of priors, a stick of the phone book, you know, I just – God bless you. I that's one thing that always bothered me about attorneys that would take anybody is that I don't know how you sell your soul quite like that.
Yeah, well, you know, most prosecutors will tell you that, you know, it's really advantageous to all sides to have a good attorney on both sides.
Well, I understand
just to make
it.
Sure and the process goes and smoothly and there's no appealable issues.
I don't hold that against anybody. It's just like proctologists. We got to have them, but it ain't going to be me. And you understand that. I mean, I think it's incredibly incredibly difficult, but also incredibly necessary to have good people on that side of the courtroom. No
but
doubt.
By no means, criminal defense has never interested me as an area of practice of law.
Yeah, the only interest I ever had in it was watching it on TV.
Yeah,
because I cannot imagine. And as you pointed out a minute ago, very rarely are you able to have a career like Perry Mason had, where every one of his cases but one was innocent.
Right.
Got to take a quick break. Attorney Chris Hudson is with us this afternoon. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about his decision late in life after he's got this incredible law practice going on to get into the dirtiest, lowest rung of law enforcement. Street cop. What? How? How in the world? I mean, dirty, hard, difficult, hard work. So this incredible legal success story is clicking along. Chris Hudson has been doing what he does. You said when was it you entered the law enforcement? Excuse me, the legal profession officially. It was 97, 96.
I got my ticket to practice law in 2003.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
2003. So kind of late in life, again, to be starting out like that. And he has made incredible progress since he got into it. So you're clicking along, doing well. Your practice is going great guns. What in the world possesses you to decide you want to be a police officer?
Well, it's something that's been itching at me for many years. I'll tell you that when I graduated high school, I applied to be a sheriff's deputy, and all indications were that they were going to hire me here in Columbia County.
By the way, you're an incredibly physically fit man right now.
Yeah.
Back in those days, you weren't.
I was a...
You were the 90-pound weakling. I mean, yes. Literally, he was built like Barney Fife.
Yes, absolutely.
Skinny.
So the story my sister tells me is that Columbia County was leaving messages on our answer machine, and every time that they would leave a message, my mom would delete it. So
really?
I just assumed that they weren't interested, so I went ahead to college.
Wow.
So it has
because she was afraid. She didn't want you to be a cop.
Yes, yeah. She, you know,
wow.
She's protecting her.
Absolutely. No, I understand.
So, and which that was a wise decision. I was not at that age. I wasn't capable physically or mentally to handle the type of job that police work.
But you were interested in it nonetheless.
Absolutely. Yeah. So fast forward to last spring when COVID hit and the roads were bare, our phone call load at the firm went way down low. So, you know, I was sitting around at times without a whole lot of work to do. So I started thinking about it again. And I got my paperwork together. I said, you know, I'm really interested in doing this. I spoke with Gypstick, who's the agency that conducts the trainings, and, you know, started the process. But I'll tell you.
Describe the process real quick. And by the way, this is the officer's training school, the certification course, which is 12 weeks, 14 weeks?
No, 16 12 weeks.
12 weeks. And it's like.
It's actually 11 weeks.
It's like basic training in the military.
Yeah.
In that while they do let you go home at night most of the time, I mean, they got you from 6 a.m. to dark, and you're busting butt. You're learning stuff. You're doing physical stuff. I mean, it is intense. And
well, I thought it was only going to be 9 to 5.
Oh, well, they straightened you out.
No, it was 6 a.m., 6:30, starting PT, and then we were there just until they were finished with you.
So 12 weeks, this basically became your full-time job.
Yes.
Even though you were still doing legal work at night and on the weekends when you had to and
right.
Lunch breaks.
Yep.
I remember you saying, or hearing you say at one point, a couple of times while everybody else was eating, you were on the phone
yes.
haggling with other attorneys.
Negotiating cases, making sure things were going well at the office.
Do you ever threaten one of the other attorneys with your bully stick, your nightstick?
I'm joking. I don't have to.
I'm joking.
I just hit another lawyer and insurance company pretty hard on a jury verdict in Columbia County.
No. I was talking about when they get mouthy with you on the phone.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. I don't mean financially.
It's tempting. You know, I do have the taser now.
That's what I'm saying. The bear spray.
But I will say this. You know, I made my final decision that I was going to jump in early September when those two officers were murdered in Compton. I think one of them might have survived.
In California?
It was two officers that were shot in the face, or one officer was shot in the face. One
I remember. It's funny. I mean, sadly, it's happened. When you first mentioned that, the case that I remember is the one in New Orleans where it happened, and the guy from Augusta did it.
Right.
He shot into a closed car. I mean, they were sitting there. The two officers were sitting in their car with the windows closed, and he stuck the gun in and shot both of them in the face.
Right. So, I believe that was the Compton incident.
It was both. Now that you mentioned it, I remember. Mm-hmm. But the guy from Augusta did it in New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, you know, I jumped in to support police. I do recognize that there have been some issues with the police themselves not having completely clean hands.
But I got to tell you, Scott. I mean, listen, sorry. It's your brother now. I got to tell you, Chris, the thing that would normally run people out of the profession, I mean, men and women all over this country have left the profession of law enforcement because of those shootings in Compton and in New Orleans and just the general perception of police officers. What that drew you to it?
It did, and I guess it was maybe a sympathy for how law enforcement was being treated, and, you know, and it was kind of like one of those 9/11 moments. You know, it happened, and, you know, a lot of people came forward and said, you know, I'm gonna serve the country. So in this particular situation that happened, and I pulled the trigger. But I will say that that probably wasn't the best rationale to get into law enforcement for me, because I didn't know those two officers. But, you know, now I'm involved in law enforcement. I've been through the academy. I have cadets that I love as brothers and sisters, and deputies on my shift that I love as brothers and sisters. And, you know, if something happened to them, you know, that's a whole different ballgame at this point.
Chris Hudson is my guest, and he is most definitely well-known to you folks who listen to the radio here, because he's all over our dial promoting different legal campaigns, I guess is the proper word for it, that not only does he want you to do business with him, but he's also advertising on behalf of cases that he has against certain corporate clients. What do you call that? It's not mass litigation. It's
multi-district litigation.
There you
we
go.
Call it mass torts.
Mass torts. That's what I was looking for.
It's where a device or product affects a large number of people.
In the movie The Jerk, it was that little thing on glasses that made you cross-eyed.
Right.
took all of Steve Martin's money. So that's pretty much what you're concentrating on these days, right?
Correct. You know, I'll try a car accident case or trucking case here and there.
There's a phone call. You don't have earphones on, but I'm going to try and make this work. And I'm just going to take this real quick, because it's a guy with a very special connection to your chosen adopted community there in Waynesboro/Burke County. Mayor Gary Jones from the great city of Grovetown is on the air with us. How you doing, Mayor?
I'm doing good. Word is going around Waynesboro and Burke County that Chris has the cleanest back seat of a patrol car in the area.
Is that true, Chris?
I'll tell you this. They don't normally give take-home cars to reserve deputies, but I work enough where they give me one. And I do keep a very clean vehicle. I'm proud of it. Absolutely. So, yes, Mayor, it is very
Chris
clean.
Chris does a great job at law enforcement.
I think I'm glad that individuals I had in custody.
He can't hear you talk, but repeat that real quick, Mayor, cause so he can hear you.
Okay. I said I'm glad to have Chris as a member in the law enforcement family. You know, I can't say that about all attorneys. I don't know if that's necessarily a good idea that all attorneys get law enforcement, but knowing Chris and knowing his integrity, he's an asset to our field, and I certainly welcome him and would hire him in Waynesboro tomorrow.
Well, that's good to keep in mind. I'm sure Sheriff Williams doesn't appreciate that, but Mayor, always a pleasure. Appreciate
you,
it.
Man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's Mayor Gary Jones, who works for the Waynesboro Police Department, and he's also, of course, Gary, longtime law enforcement all over this area, Columbia County and Richmond County, too. So, Chris, the question, I guess, comes up, why Burke County? Once you've got that certification, there's not a department in this area that is not hiring right now certified law officers with clean records. And
right.
You're right at the top of that list. So why Burke County?
Right. Well, I'm a part-time municipal judge in several jurisdictions. You know, I was a magistrate judge for 4 years. And
here in Columbia County, right?
Harlem.
Right.
Part-time municipal judge there. So that strikes Columbia County off the list.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Well, it's just...
I didn't know you were still in that capacity.
Yeah, I am. And I'm also a municipal judge in Richmond County and Blythe, and then in Jefferson County and Renz, Stapleton, and Bartow. So I did not think it was a good idea to make arrests in counties where I sit as a municipal court judge.
Now, obviously. Are you the only active law enforcement officer who sits in a judge's seat in
well,
the state
I've
of Georgia?
Well, I've never heard of any other attorney, judge, and police officer.
Well, you are all three, but I think the magic trick is being a cop and a judge at the same time, not necessarily being and by the way, there are some justices. I remember Andy Taylor was one. There was a justice of the peace and the sheriff, but being a deputy and a judge, I've never heard of that.
I don't know that there's anybody else out there that does it.
Do you ever wear a badge on your robe? I'm playing joke. So, real quick though, Burke County, huge county. It's one of the largest physically large counties, geographically large counties in the Southeast.
Correct.
And as a result, you got to be able to drive like Al Unser from point A to point B when they need you. So was that a challenge for you? Everybody wanted me to ask you about the physical training. I'll get to that in a minute. But I would think at our age, after you're about 35 years old, learning to drive like a cop has to drive would be completely counterintuitive to everything that you've ever learned as a regular driver.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know what it was, but when we had the EVOC training in the academy, I completely aced it.
So you embrace your inner stock car driver.
Yeah, it was. I think I had the fastest time in the in our class, and as a matter of fact, I got yelled at for going too fast.
Really?
Through the course. Yeah.
Well, good for you, but you did it without hitting anything. So that's
correct. Right. Absolutely.
Wow. So do you ever forget yourself when you're on your way to the office here in Columbia County down to your office in Richmond County?
As far as?
Do you ever forget, I'm driving the Lexus instead of the supercharged Burke County Copmobile?
Not so much as that as I'll see a violation and my hand automatically.
You reach for the dial.
Reaching for the dial to the right, saying, I'm going to pull this cover.
Well, I don't blame you there. All right. When we come back, I'm going to ask Chris specifically about some of his more exciting moments as a law enforcement officer. He is the only, and I just realized this. I knew that he was an attorney/police officer. I have no idea. He is an attorney/judge/police officer. I knew that he had been a magistrate before he underwent his cop training. I did not know that he was still doing that. I have a quick minute here. I need to remind you about our friends over at Your CBD Store. Two great locations serving you. CBD products like nobody else has them. And as I've always told you, the great staff behind the counter that have been in on this secret before anybody else. Unfortunately, a lot of CBD wannabes have popped up over the last couple of years, and you don't know who makes that material, where it comes from, or how good it is. Not so at Your CBD Store, where they use the very best line, SunMed, and they have every bit of quality control that you would expect in a pharmaceutical operation, except none of this is pharmaceutical. It's all natural. CBD products, the way to go if you've got inflammation issues, anxiety issues. Then again, you probably know that already. The greatest single location for all the products you need, including the Delta 8, 9, and 10 compounds, Your CBD Store. Washington Road and Martinez Evans across from Monterey and the Jones Auto Group in Grovetown, exit 190 off I-20. That's Lewiston Road between the Chicken Salad Chick and the Smoothie King, Your CBD Store. Before we go to break, Chris, I'm going to jump in here and ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's been your most exciting 5 minutes of police work since? And by the way, you've been on the job now over a year, right?
I started in late December.
Okay, so you're coming up on your anniversary.
Yeah.
What's the most exciting 5 minutes that you've had?
I was riding through Vidette a few weeks ago, and I ran a tag, and it came back stolen.
Uh-oh.
And when you run a tag and it comes back stolen, there's a whoop, whoop, whoop sound that goes on your computer. And so I had to spring into action and take somebody into custody, and unfortunately one of them took off on foot. But we were able to get him apprehended a few days later. But that was probably my most exciting deal so far, is to be able to recover a stolen car. It was actually owned by a gentleman here in Columbia County, and he was real appreciative of getting his car back. He didn't think he was going to get it back in one piece. So that was my most exciting adventure so far in the.
And by the way, we got to remind everybody, this isn't like Adam 12. You're out there on your own in a deputy car.
Absolutely.
You don't get backup unless you specifically call for it. And even if you did in that situation, I'm sure you probably did, it was going to be 10, 15 minutes before they got there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and especially out in Vidette. You're out on an island out there. Yeah.
And it just harkens back to, you know, how big the geographical mileage of that county is. I think it's over 500 or close to 500
square miles. What's the fastest you've clocked anybody going yet?
So I'm not radar certified yet. That's next on my list, is to go to radar school. But I have not done that, so I don't have a radar in my vehicle.
I was going to say that's a very lucrative operation for law enforcement everywhere. I'm surprised that they haven't gotten you up to speed on that yet.
Well, you'd be surprised, especially at our agency. The sheriff, I think he wants us to have contacts with the public as far as stops. But, you know, you're never going to get in trouble for writing a warning.
That's true.
He doesn't push the money aspect.
Sheriff Alfonso Williams, I've said it on many occasions, maybe the best rookie sheriff in the history of the area, and certainly one of the greatest sheriffs that we've got serving currently when it comes to communication with the public and public awareness. I mean, he takes it to the next level. He is a man that commands respect and admiration from just about everybody. Matter of fact, if you don't like Sheriff Alfonso Williams, I don't like you. And I hope there's one guy particularly that heard that. And by the way, shame on me for not getting into this sooner. I'm going to check in with him next week so we can talk about this a little bit more. But real quick, we'll get it mentioned to you. You've got a charitable foundation which helps provide college assistance for those in need.
Yeah, absolutely I do. I started it in 2019. It's the Chris Hudson Foundation. Last year, I personally funded two $2,500 scholarships to underprivileged high school seniors that were needing a hand up as opposed to a hand out. You know, people that have been in a similar situation that I was when I was a child, growing up for part of my childhood with a single mom.
Yeah.
So, and then last year we had our first annual golf tournament, raised, I think, around $28,000, and I was able to fund five $2,500 scholarships to really awesome high school seniors that were crushing it and
wonderful
are in college now. So this year we're having another golf tournament. It's on Columbus Day, October 11th. We still have several teams available. If somebody wants to jump in and grab a team, or if you're a business out there that want to help out with a whole sponsorship or a prize, that'd be greatly appreciated as well.
And the golf tournament's going to be where?
We held it at Westlake.
Oh, very cool. So and all you folks that have ever wanted to play Westlake and never had, this is your chance to do it.
And by all accounts, last year, all of the players that played in the tournament, that regularly play in tournaments, so that was the best run tournament that they've had. They've
wonderful.
Been to in a while.
Fantastic.
Great prizes, good fellowship. And
by the way, he's looking for a few sponsorships still, and you can help out with that, or you want to play in the tournament. The website, it covers all this, right?
It does, or you can just shoot me an email at chris@chrishudsonlaw.com. And
is the website chrishudsonlaw.com?
It is.
All right.
Yeah.
Real easy to remember, chrishudsonlaw.com. Help him out. Help him provide the scholarships to these very worthwhile students. And again, what a great way to give back. But you've been doing that. Every minute that you work for the Burke County Sheriff's Department is volunteered. And the way that those programs usually work, they ask you to devote a certain amount of time, but you give way more than you have to. What's the time requirement at minimum?
I believe that you're supposed to do 20 hours a month, but yeah.
But you do more than that.
I exceed that, yeah.
I do. And do you eventually want to come out of the car and work detective cases, or are you happy doing what you're doing?
You know, I eventually would like to go full-time in law enforcement.
Really?
Yeah. You know, right now that's not something.
I was going to say, you better get a couple more of those big cases.
Yeah.
But so you're mean to tell me that if God be so lucky, all of us be so fortunate, if the big case came in tomorrow and you had a, you know, $100 million settlement and you were able to retire, you would show up 2 weeks later suited up and ready to go full-time in law enforcement?
I would shut the doors of my law practice and go full-time. Absolutely.
How about that?
Yeah.
With the intention of staying on the road or becoming, you know, Lieutenant Columbo?
I'm not sure. I enjoy road patrol. You know, that's all I've done so far. You know, I don't know that I'd be as interested in the investigations division. Maybe crime suppression.
That's the SWAT team, folks. By the way, we were talking about the 90-pound weakling before. What are you pressing these days?
I bench 245.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And again, he's 46 years old here.
Yeah.
And you... You are not blessed, again, with natural strength and a natural physique. Some people are. And you grew up, like you said, the 90-pound weakling. And at what age did you decide to become Charles Atlas?
I started working out, I guess, about 5 years ago, seriously. And
you put on how much weight, which is 100% muscle?
I'm at about 187.
But when you started out, you were like, what, 160 or something?
Yeah, well.
That's nuts.
I graduated high school at 115.
That's unbelievable. I haven't weighed 115 since the fourth grade. Chris, it's an honor, man.
Thank you. Appreciate all you do out there.
ChrisHudsonLaw.com. Is that the website?
That is.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's news talk and information station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.